We'd like to first of all congratulate all of the sisters who have made religious steps, and especially those sisters who will be taking their final vows at the time of communion at the Mass. We'd like to congratulate also their families and relatives and friends. It goes without saying that to have a religious vocation in the family is a great blessing indeed. What a joy to impart the heart of a parent or parents and brothers and sisters to know that you have within you, your family, someone who has given their life entirely and exclusively to the service of God. There are many blessings that come to your family by their life of dedication, and let us give thanks for this corresponding to their vocations. This morning I'd like to speak about the concept of vocation, and especially religious life, as we have this occasion of the sisters' vow ceremonies. What is a vocation? A vocation is a calling. In a very general sense, all of us have a vocation. All of us are called by God. God has given all of us different talents, abilities. We have our own unique personality, our temperament. And God gives each one of us our life, and we have intellect and free will. Intellect to know and free will to choose how we're going to live that life. And as we know, there are different vocations. We have the single state, which is a vocation. We have the married state, which is a vocation. And we also have the religious life, which is a vocation. When we think of the vocation to the married state, we are reminded that our Lord raised the marriage state, which God had instituted when he created Adam and Eve. Our Lord and Savior raised that between two baptized people to a sacrament. As St. Paul says, this is a great sacrament, speaking in the church. I am reminded of how St. Pius X, when he was consecrated a bishop, he was very affectionately telling his mother, "Mother, look at my ring." And typical Italian mother that she was, Mrs. Sarto said to Bishop Sarto, "You would not have your ring, son, unless I had my ring." So we do need good Catholic families and Catholic mothers and fathers. That's a vocation. And to fulfill that vocation, you have the wonderful sacrament of matrimony. When you pronounce your vows, those of you who are husbands and wives in our congregation, when you pronounce your vows to each other, you not only got to increase a sanctifying grace, but a special sacramental grace to be faithful to each other and to raise your children properly. But now we speak of the religious vocation. We read of in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, where he speaks about the virgin, how a person who's married is divided between loving God and loving their spouse. Whereas a religious or a virgin who's given their life to the service of God, they're not divided. They can love the Lord their God with their whole heart, mind, and soul, and they don't have to share their love with any human being. That doesn't mean that those who become religious don't love others. Of course they do. But they have chosen, and they have been chosen by our Lord to belong entirely and exclusive to the divine spouse. When we think of the religious vocation, we think of our Lord's words, "Everyone who has left mother, father, sister, brother, and lands for my sake will receive 100-fold in this life and in the life to come, eternal life." This is something that is promised by Christ himself. It is something that is realized by every religious. What is that 100-fold in this life? What is the religious life? What a wonderful vocation. You leave everything behind in the world to to give your life exclusively and entirely to God. There is the schedule of prayers and work and all the other activities. There is the common life of living with other religious who are just as much intent on giving their life to God. There is the life of sacrifice, being bound by the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And as we know, spiritual writers have talked about how these are the three nails that nail the religious to the cross with Jesus. Our Lord, when he was born in a stable. When he died deprived of everything earthly. And when he walked this earth in his public life, he had not whereon to rest his head. And our Lord has said, if anyone would come after me, let him go sell all he has and give to the poor and come follow me. And our Lord, his very first words that we read of, he told his mother Mary, did you not know I must be about my Father's business, and my meat is to do the will of him who sent me? Not my will, Father, but thine be done. And so we have in the religious life those who want to more closely and perfectly follow Jesus Christ. The sisters who have given their lives to God, what a wonderful life it is. They are preserved from many of the occasions of sin that the laity have to put up with. You men and women who have to go out and support yourselves, you're surrounded by a very corrupt society, surrounded by many occasions of sin. And the religious, they have secured that. They've separated themselves from the things of this world. And for a religious with poverty, a vow of poverty, they don't have to worry about earthly things, temporal things. It's all taken care of for them so that they can focus all their energy and attention on knowing, loving, and serving God and living for Him alone. We know what a blessing it is for families to have children, parents to have children. Children indeed are a blessing. But we also know that with regard to the sisters, even though they do not get married and have children of their own, they are spiritual mothers. Whether they teach in a school and instill the truths of the faith into the young hearts and souls of their pupils, or if they don't even teach, by the life of sacrifice, by the life of dedication and oblation to God, they're drawing down many graces for souls that are being saved because of their life of sacrifice. There are sinners throughout the world who, at a moment of death, need that grace to make that perfect act of contrition or to want to receive the administration of the last rites. Their soul is in the balance, and the sisters, even though they may not be teachers and teaching in school, the life of sacrifice is the deciding factor of bringing down God's grace to turn that heart back to God. Souls that the sisters may never ever meet or know of in their lifetime. And when we think of the religious life, there are so many advantages to the not only the salvation of their soul, but to growing in perfection. Silence, they say silence is golden. The idea of being able to be recollected throughout the day and not have all the noise and distractions of radio, television, and all the hustle and bustle of the world so that they can stay recollected and live a life in union with our Lord and our Blessed Mother. That throughout the day they can frequently uplift their heart, mind, and soul to God in prayer. They have their daily prayers. In the world, we know, those of you lay people I'm sure can identify what I'm saying, you can live a spiritual life, of course, but it's also in the mix of job, many activities and events in the world, and many distractions. You can have a spiritual life. You can have a prayer program, but you're not strictly bound to that. It's not like you families, there's a bell rung, and all your children get up and you go in for morning meditation. Or you go in for praying the rosary. I'm sure you all pray, many of you pray the family rosary, that's good. But if on an occasion you don't pray the family rosary, or maybe get a little remiss, it's because you're not bound to that strictly. But for the religious, it's day in, day out, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. For the rest of their life, they have this wonderful structure that is all the elements necessary and very conducive for spiritual perfection. As we were mentioning to the sisters briefly for the last conference that they had at their retreat, Jesus and the Holy Eucharist is the center of their life. They live under the same roof as our Lord. At any moment, they can just go and make a visit to our Divine Lord. Daily Mass, daily Holy Communion, weekly confession, all these wonderful spiritual helps to fulfill what they are professed to do. They are professional religious. That is their job. Number one, first and foremost, if you look at any constitutions of any orders or congregations in a church, first and foremost is living for God and the sanctification of their soul. All the other things they might do, teaching in school, singing nuns, the center with its printing apostolate, all those are secondary. Primarily, it is to become holy and pleasing to God. And that is the hallmark of a religious. They've left everything behind to give their life to God. And so I would just tell the sisters, what a wonderful vocation you have. And you haven't chosen our Lord as much as our Lord has chosen you. And just remember this, you not only get the hundredfold in this life, and what is that hundredfold? It's all the advantages we've been describing and more, and there's other things. The great peace of soul that comes of living a life consecrated to God. That joy and happiness of realizing that you're not saved, like the Protestants, you know, erroneously claim, but you have secured your salvation. If you live your religious life as you should, your salvation is in a greater degree secured. There's also the knowledge that everything you do, consecrated to God by your vow, your vows, is dedicated to God. Even the most, what we would call, neutral or mundane things that you do. Whereas people in the world, they can make an act of a morning offering, offer up the whole day, and that's good and makes their actions pleasing to God. But you, by your vows, your solemn promise made to God, your whole life is dedicated to a service. So even the most mundane things, such as eating and recreating and sleeping, you're following your schedule, you're doing God's will, you get a double merit for everything you do. Not just the good action you do, but a double merit because you've done it consecrated to God. So it is my prayer for all of our sisters, and especially those who have made their steps and those who will especially take their final vows today. On this occasion, give thanks to God for your vocation. Remember to be faithful to your vocation and believe in your vocation. Don't underestimate the importance of your vocation and the balance of the salvation of souls. You are going to be the powerhouse of grace that the church needs. Not so much by your apostolate and the actions that you do, the material work that you do, the external work that you do, but primarily by your spiritual life, your life dedicated to God and your relationship with God, drawing down God's mercy and God's grace on a sinful and corrupt world. How many times there are in the life of a priest where there's a small, very small window of opportunity to reach a soul. The priest needs to say the right thing. He needs to be very, very, very careful of how he approaches the situation. But more than anything the priest says and does, it's God's grace that has to move that heart, that sinner, to come back. And that's graces that are merited and earned by your life of oblation. So when we think of the mystical body of Christ, how God has called all of us to different vocations, we all have different roles to play, a very important and essential role in the life of the mystical body of Christ is the religious life. Because it's the religious life, the life of dedication to God, that consoles God and is a consolation to the divine heart of Jesus, his sacred heart, and to Mary's immaculate heart. And I like to conclude by saying on this feast of our Mother Perpetual Help, what a beautiful title of Our Lady that we have before us as you make your different steps toward giving your life entirely to God. We have on this feast of Our Mother Perpetual Help, this is the feast that the religious ceremonies take place annually. Our Blessed Mother is your spiritual mother. She's your wonderful model of imitation. She's always ready and willing to help us, and she even in advance, even anticipates our spiritual needs, and she's there ever ready and willing to help us in all of our temporal and spiritual needs. Let's go to our Blessed Mother with great confidence. As you know, sisters, very well, the devil's not going to give up on trying to divert your attention from your purpose as a religious. The devil will try whatever means he can because he knows the great advantage of your religious life in bringing souls to God. The devil's going to do all that he can to divert that attention. And so let us always have recourse to the Mother of God to help us and protect us and preserve us from these snares and temptations of the devil. Let us not underestimate the attacks the devil will make on religious, to get discouraged, to lose heart, or to seemingly want to give up. It is a wonderful life, and Satan knows that. It's a wonderful life of drawing down graces for Holy Mother of the Church. Satan knows that. And so even more so, he's going to focus his attacks. He attacks all of us, but in a special way, he attacks religious, because he knows what graces you draw down for the Church and for the world. We know in the picture of a Mother Perpetual Help is very symbolic, where Jesus holds Mary's hand with both hands. He holds with complete and total confidence in his mother. You notice in the picture how his sandal is falling off. And as we know, Jesus is true God and true man. And in the image, we have two of the angels holding the instruments of the Passion. And the symbolism is how our Lord ran to his Blessed Mother, ran quickly with his sandal coming off, and places his total trust and confidence in her. Jesus Christ is one person, but he has the nature of God and the nature of man. Our Lord was a man in all things like unto us except sin. When we think of our Lord in the agony of the garden, he says, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt." Our Lord, in his human nature, he suffered an intense agony and sweat blood. And so when we think of our Blessed Mother and Jesus going to his mother, we see how that wonderful and loving relationship between Jesus and Mary, and how important it is that we imitate our Lord and our love and devotion and dedication to Mary. She will help us to be faithful to our calling. She will help us to be obedient to the will of God and preserve our heart from all human affection and to focus that affection on God and help us to be detached from the things of this world. Our Blessed Mother is our model of dedication. Her humble fiat, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. He that is mighty has done great things to me. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." If we want to be good religious, let us look to the Mother of God for that perfect example of service, to live in the service of God. So once again, for the sisters, all of the sisters, congratulations, and especially to those who have made their steps, so we'll take them at the time of communion for the sisters with final vows. Congratulations to their families and relatives, and to all of you here at Mount St. Michael's. It's a great blessing to have religious in your parish and community. They draw down many graces for your souls and the souls of your children and all those who are part of this parish. And let us on this occasion once again give thanks to God that there are still people hearing the voice of Christ. Everyone who has left mother, father, sister, brother, lands for my sake will receive 100-fold in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.